RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Dripping in gold? That's cool. Dripping in Velveeta's supremely creamy golden cheesiness? That's respect. Elevate your drip with Velveeta's range of outrageously delicious dips and dishes. Shells, cheese, melty blocks, and heat and eat queso that go all in on indulgence. Flex on your fam with a creamy, cheesy masterpiece and go all in on what you love with Velveeta. Respect the drip and satisfy your cravings. Bring home the drip with Velveeta.
Welcome to the Nine Finger Chronicles Hunting Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and I can't believe that 2024 marks 10 years of podcasting. Over the last decade, I have had the pleasure of talking with hundreds upon hundreds of passionate outdoors men and women who share the same excitement for hunting as I do. Whether you hunt public lands or private property, shoot traditional archery equipment or high-powered rifles, we all have one thing in common. And that's our love for the great outdoors. This year, I plan on continuing that tradition and bringing educational and entertaining content to your ears. Thank you for your continued support, and I hope you all have the best seasons of your life. Good vibes in, good vibes out. What the hell is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Nine Finger Chronicles. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And today marks, It marks me going shed hunting this past week. I don't even know. It sounded cool, but then I lost track of what I was saying. So anyway, it's gorgeous out in Iowa. Sheds are starting to fall. I would say about 60% of the deer when I checked trail cameras this past weekend are still holding. There are a couple bucks that look like they have some pretty big pedicles where they've fallen off, but there's a lot of medium to little deer left holding. And of the bucks, my guesstimate is about 60% are still holding. And so within the next 2 weeks, they're going to be dropping like flies, and I'm hoping to get back out. In this episode, you're going to hear me talk about how excited and happy I was when my daughter found her first shed ever. You're going to hear me talk about my strategy moving forward with trail cameras and mock scrapes and the Rope-A-Dope system, which is one of our sponsors of Code Blue Sense there. And I feel like it has such a big impact on how I hunt. I mean, the last time I can remember having, I don't want to call it an aha moment, but the last time that I got so jacked up about hunting strategy was when I got my very first Lone Wolf run and gun portable tree stand, hang on, right? With the four sticks, and I started implementing that run and gun strategy. I saw a lot more deer. And I think this type of strategy using pre-orbital gland scent and mock scrapes is going to be the next piece of the ever-evolving puzzle that is hunting strategy for me on the properties that I hunt. And so you're going to hear me talk, basically brainstorm my way through this idea, what I'm going to do, what I've learned from it so far, and hopefully that helps all of you if you are interested in starting to hunt near or work mock scrapes. Now, I think that for, you know, not necessarily for the run and gun guy, but if you can find a really good location where you feel deer are going to be coming through, I think that this strategy would work well for both private and public ground. You know, you make a mock scrape. I mean, Troy Pottinger does it. He slays giants on over mock scrapes every single year. And this guy has honed it down to an exact science, and it works for him. And I think that information right there is worthy of testing out. And so I'm going to test it out this year. I'm going to put mock scrapes within shooting range of all of my tree stands. And the goal is to get deer within shooting range. That's it, deer within shooting range. And get them in front of the camera so I can identify shooter deer and put a plan together for those shooter deer. And it's pretty simple. So again, you're going to hear me talk about this. Other than that, you're going to hear me talk a little bit about the 5-hour drive for 3 hours of shed hunting. And there's no way anybody would ever talk me out of doing it again, because what we did find was so special that it was worth the long drive for the short shed hunt. So other than that, man, if you guys could all do me a favor, and this is a business favor, right? If you could go over to the Full Sneak website, or not the website, the Full Sneak Gear, it's the company that I own. If you could go to the Instagram page and follow that, just like you follow the Nine Finger Chronicles, what that's going to do is it's going to help me reach 1,000 followers. And I think at 1,000 followers, then I can start to promote on Instagram, and I can make advertisements for the company, and I can promote my business. Until I reach that, I can't do that. So I'm hoping that within the next, if anybody hears this, if anybody likes what I do, go over to Full Sneak Gear Instagram page, follow it, like it, and then that's going to build me up to the point where I can start making some more business moves. If you haven't already, go to fullsneakgear.com and check out all of the products that I offer. Dude, the Slayer tee, I got another one that I just put an order in for, and that would be, what's it called? Oh, it's called the Full Sneak Fight Club t-shirt. A And I can't wait to share that with you. It should be available mid-March. All right. But go check out what we do have available. The Licking Branch tea, that's been a popular seller. The Slayer tea has definitely been a popular seller. And then equally has been all of the other shirts that, and the crew neck sweatshirt that the Full Sneak Gear has brought to the table, including the only Nine Finger Chronicles hat. So FullSneakGear.com, go check it out. Now, we do have to do commercials for the other products as well. And so if you're looking for a saddle, saddle hunting accessories, and then also stay tuned for a big announcement. It's kind of leaked already, but they're going to have, Tethered's going to have some really cool stuff coming to some retail stores. WaspArchery.com, a discount code NFC20 for, in my opinion, some of the best broadheads on the market. Still, a majority of their heads are American made, and that's important. You know, if you listen to me on the Hunting Gear podcast, I talk about how important that is. So WaspArchery.com, check out their lineup of mechanical and fixed blade broadheads. And then what else do we have? We have Vortex Optics. You know, someone made a good point a while back, and they said, they have technology out there today that you don't need a pair of binoculars and a rangefinder anymore. They put them together, and Vortex has that. And I'm looking forward to picking that item up because it's going to make me more efficient. I will be able to have one item instead of two. Okay. And so I really do feel like the traditional rangefinder, it's obviously going to have a place, but it's on its way out the door. When just like cell cameras first took off, I feel it's going to almost be standard in any optic market, that any optic brand is going to have to start selling a binocular with a rangefinder built in. And so I'm looking forward to that, along with all of the other new products that Vortex has to offer. And that's vortexoptics.com. You're going to hear me talk about Code Blue Sense today quite a bit because of this whole mock scrape idea that I'm messing around with. And so I'm just going to say codebluesense.com, discount code NFC20. Take advantage of that. Start stocking up on your mock scrape kits today, and then going and implementing them where you hunt. So the Woodman's Pal is going to play a huge role in this as well, because I'm going to be cutting out trail camera lanes. I'm going to be cutting out shooting lanes, knocking thorns off locust trees, a whole bunch of stuff like that. So woodmanspal.com, go check them out. Awesome habitat tool that you should keep in your pack or in your car, especially if you're a mobile hunter. And then last but definitely not least, Huntworth. In my opinion, Huntworth has the best value for what you're getting in the hunting industry. On top of that, as far as camo and layering systems, they have a superb layering system. They have everything you need for hot, medium, and extremely cold temperatures, right? Especially with their heat boost technology. So go check out all of the clothing at huntworthgear.com. And other than that, man, we should be done. Again, go to the Full Sneak Instagram page, follow that for me. Go to iTunes or wherever you download your podcast, leave a 5-star review for the Sportsman's Empire and the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. Other than that, we're good to go. Let's get into today's BS session / mock scrape discussion right here, right now. All right, everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. And today I'm running solo. I had some things happen this weekend that I really wanted to talk about when I went shed hunting, checked trail cameras on the property, and what information I gained from those trail cameras. Okay. The first thing I kind of want to talk about is the shed hunt as a whole, right? And so I live quite a ways away from one of the farms. And when I mean quite a ways, I don't mean like 8 hours, but it is a 2.5-hour drive from where I live to this farm. And It's a commitment to go there because we drove a total of 5 hours there and back in one day. And I think we only shed hunted maybe 3 hours. So three and a half hours. So we drove 5 hours to shed hunt 3 hours. And, it was exciting because my oldest daughter told me, "Hey, I want to get up early. I want to go with you." And, I'm glad she did. And I'll talk about that here in a second. Okay. So it is important whenever you're hunting on a piece of property that you do not own, that you are crystal clear with the landowner. If he's the only landowner, he or she is the only landowner, what you have permission to do and not to do, what others have the permission to do and not to do, and know these things, all right? Because something happened this weekend, and I hope this doesn't backfire, but something happened this weekend. Me and my daughter are driving on the property. At the time, I thought that the guy who gave me permission was the only owner of the property. And from what I was told, I was the only hunter supposed to be on the property. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean shed hunting or turkey hunting, from what I found out. That means deer hunting, okay, bow hunting. And so it was, I pull into the property, and the first thing I see is a truck parked on one piece of the property. And I'm like, this is strange, because I thought that I was the only person that was supposed to have access to this farm. And so the first, and I'm not trying to get people kicked off farms, but it is important to know who these people are and what they're doing there and who gave them permission, right? Because that goes against everything that, I've been told, all right? So I see them, I approach them, and I'm like, "Hey, how are you doing?" I introduce myself first. I give them my name. I give them the landowner's name. I give them a ton of information. And then, I said, "What are you guys doing out here?" And they're like, "Well, we're here to shed hunt." I go, "Did you talk with this person?" And they said, "No, we talked to this person." And I go, "Well, I was under the impression that they sold their rights to this farm, and that there's only one landowner now, and so you got permission from someone who doesn't own it. I just want to be clear, and I just want to be concise on who you are, what you're doing, so I can report this back to the landowner, because he told me I'm the only person who's supposed to be out here." And I had a very cordial conversation with these people. They were very respectful. I was very respectful back. I didn't go, "Who the hell are you? And what are you doing on this farm? Blah, blah, blah." And I'm glad I didn't, because then I reached out to the landowner, and the landowner said, "Well, I do own this property with other members of my family." And so that cleared up a lot of things. And they got permission from another person in that family. And so they were confused. I was confused. They decided to leave. I knew I could stay. And so I shed hunted. Now, in the past, in the future, now I know, hey, if I see people on trail camera, especially during shed season, or there's also a guy out there who's doing trapping, that it's important to ask questions, not get mad at people, and make sure for not only your safety, but for the safety of the landowner, for liability reasons and the safety of others, that you have these open lines of communication. Now, if I reached out, if these guys didn't give me any information, they showed me a text message with this other family member who I didn't know about, and so it kind of made sense. Now, if these people were like, "Hey man, we don't, we got permission from who?" From Randy. Well, there's no Randy. So you guys, do you have permission to be here? And then, most of the time people say no, and then they leave. right? Or they run away or whatever the case may be. And so I'm glad we got that figured out. However, I'm also glad that they didn't shed hunt the property, because my daughter was in the car with me while this whole thing went down. Again, these guys were very respectful. I shared that sentiment back to them, and we talked it out. Okay. And so anyway, long story short, me and my daughter start to shed hunt, and she was excited. It was cold and she was dressed properly. And I think that is actually what made it a success, is because I took time to prepare warm socks, two pairs of pants, heavy, you know, a jacket with an extra sweatshirt, stocking cap, hood on it, you know. And so we were out there and she was comfortable. And I think that's one thing that maybe adults tend to overlook at certain times, is how comfortable these kids are when we take them out. They can't handle the cold or the heat or uncomfortable, wet, or, you know, maybe thirsty type situations where they're uncomfortable. We can tough it out a little bit, but kids, they can't. And so I was glad I took that, you know, the five extra minutes to go ahead and get my daughter prepared for this hunt. We got some snacks, we got food, and, you know, we got water, we got comfortable boots, and we're ready to go, right? And so we got there. While we were doing this, the first thing I did before we really started shed hunting was I checked two trail cameras. I didn't check them yet, but I replaced batteries, formatted SD cards, and got everything back to working order, because my trail camera, multiple trail cameras on that farm had stopped working. And so I needed to get out there. This was a multi-purpose trip, you know, shed hunting, obviously, but restock trail camera. I got all of them done except one. And I don't know why. I look back and I go, why didn't I just take the extra 5 minutes? And because I had the time to go ahead and do what I needed to get done. But I do know that I'm going to have another work day on that farm after what we talk about here in the next couple minutes. But anyway, so I checked some trail cams and we started shed hunting. And God, just walking around the woods with my daughter was exactly what I needed. And so I'm documenting some of this stuff for Instagram. And as I'm talking, I hear my daughter go, "I found one, I found one." And before she found this particular shed, she was going, "I found one, I found one." And it was like a bone to an old cow bone or an old deer bone or something like that. I'm like, "Oh, no, that's a rib cage, or that's a part of the spine," or whatever it is. And I go, "Hold it up." And she holds it up and it's a real shed. And I got freaking jacked up, dude. I was jacked, because at that moment, when she found that shed, it was, even if it was just one shed, that's all we got, it was worth the 5 hours of driving for her to find that shed. Now, in the past, I have brought sheds with me. I've thrown them out in the woods and they get to find them themselves. Okay. And then they find them. This was a real shed that I did not place, and she found, and she was jacked up about it. So I walk over there, we share that moment, right? I have her hold it up, look around. I say, "Hey, you know, deer have two antlers. Do you think he dropped the other one around here too?" She's like, yeah, let's go look for it. And so we kind of followed the path that we were kind of on into this like grassy area that had no snow on it. It looked dry. And so I'm assuming that's where they're hanging out, you know, while they're either on their feet or they're bedding. And sure enough, we walked up to this one, tines down, and we couldn't tell from the distance, you know, how big it was. But when my daughter went to go pick it up, it was the match set of the shed that she found, the first shed that she found. And so the rule is, and I told her, I said, "Hey, shed hunting rules. Here's the shed hunting rules. You found the first one, right? I found the second one. And the rule is, whoever finds the first shed, if the second part of that match set is found, that goes to the first person to find it. And I was pretty stoked, like, to give her that shed. And now she's got this matching set sitting in her bedroom. And it's going to be cool because that matching set was found by me and my daughter. And I don't know what it is about me these days, but I'm kind of turning into a softie. And I got a little bit emotional when we found that match set, and I could see the excitement in her face, and I could see that she was enjoying this moment. And that made my heart skip a little bit of a beat, right? I don't want to sound like a puss here, but dude, my family is the most important thing. And second is hunting. Okay. And when the first thing lines up with the second thing and I can do what I love and hang out with the people that I love, dude, it means so much to me that she took time she could have just stayed home, played with her friends and, you know, called it a day. She didn't have to drive 5 hours in a car with me to do this, but she did. And dude, I was so jacked. I had to like turn my head a little bit and like wait for her to walk ahead of me and like wipe the tears out of my eyes. That's how jacked I was for her to find these sheds. And I was thinking about it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll probably have an emotional breakdown the first deer she shoots. And so I was so happy that we found that match set. It was the only thing that we found. The other thing that was really cool was teachable moments. These teachable moments, not only education about the property for myself, but how deer move through terrain for my daughter, right? And so not only did she find this shed, but she was ahead of me a little bit. I was kind of letting her walk this narrow piece ahead of me and me stay a little bit behind. And she goes, Dad, come here. There was a light dusting of snow on the ground. And then there was the bare spots. And that was where these deer were bedding. And I ended up hearing my daughter go, Dad, I found a deer bed. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's go over. And sure enough, she's down in the bed. She's picking up hairs. She's like, look at, you know, Dad, this is where these deer are sleeping. And there was like four or five beds. I'm assuming it was a doe group. And the cool thing was I had this strategy talk with her where I'm like, okay, see where these beds are located. They're kind of on a high point. They're kind of at the end of this high point so that the wind can blow over top of them on a west wind and they can see into the field or the pasture and they can run away from the danger that they see. So this is why. And so I said,
where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway, wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Ava, where do you think we are going to find the next doe beds? The next beds that we run across, where are we going to find them? And she points over there. Sure enough, there were three doe beds under this Osage orange tree. And I was like, it made me happy that she understood, right? And this is going to sound crazy, but in the hunting space, whether it's the industry or it is in the community, we have my demographic for this podcast is like 97% male. Okay, 97% of the people that listen to the Nine Finger Chronicles are men, right? And then we have 3% women. And of that 3% women, that could be men listening through their wives' accounts. I don't know. But oftentimes, what you see it with females in the hunting industry is you see somebody doing the work for them, and then they benefit from the rewards. Now, I don't want to ruffle any feathers with that statement. It's just the men are passionate about it. They're going and doing all the work. They're putting the tree stands up. They're doing all this. And then the woman comes along with them, right? Nothing wrong with that. I don't want my daughter to be like that. I want my daughter, when it's all said and done, to feel comfortable and confident walking into a property and identifying deer sign and knowing how to go kill deer by herself, not reliant on anybody else, right? And so I don't want to shelter her. I want to make her work for it. Because what that does then is it builds that confidence, and she doesn't need anybody else to go hunting. She can just pick up a tree stand. She can pick up a bow or a saddle or whatever and just go. She doesn't need anybody else. And that's my goal. Now, that's a long journey because we just exactly started it. But ultimately, I want my daughter to be able to do what I currently do, right? She's going to have to go through a learning period just like I did. But I didn't have anybody to educate me. I was doing all of this on myself, you know, by myself. So I'm hoping that I can mentor her enough to where she feels comfortable going and doing this. And so, I'm so excited for the next 10 years when all my kids are starting to get old enough now to go out and come with me and walk without getting so tired. My youngest one, he's 6. He's got short legs. And so he's probably not quite ready for that yet. My oldest son, he is. He'll be ready here this year to come out with me. He had a birthday party, so he couldn't come with me. But I'm really looking forward to that this next 10 years where my kids are starting to get excited about the outdoors. They see me having excitement, and that brings me excitement. Just like this upcoming turkey season, I'm not even thinking about myself right now. I'm thinking about trying to put my daughter in the best position to shoot a tom, right? And so I got an idea where we're going to go. And, if she can, we've gone last year, we got a tag. It didn't work out. We had some guys come on the farm to do some habitat work while we were turkey hunting. And this year I communicated with them and I was like, hey, listen, my daughter and I will be here turkey hunting, this late season or the youth season. And, basically just let them know. Right. And so they're cool. They're going to stay off of it. However, so I'm looking forward to that. Now, while I was there, I had just kind of we'll go back a little bit. I told myself last summer before the season started that I wanted to mess around with mock scrapes this year. And dude, I set one, two. Yeah. I set two up on this farm. I think I actually did three. There's one, two. Yeah. And so here's what I found. I put a trail camera over one of them. Okay. And so I said, hey, I want to test out these mock scrapes. I want to see how well this rope-a-dope system works. And by the way, that rope-a-dope system is from Code Blue Sense. All right. I do have a discount code for it, NFC20. And I hate to whore out, but it has a huge impact on what I will be doing moving forward. Okay. And so here's what happened. I put a trail camera. It was not a cell camera over top of one of the rope-a-dopes, so I could see what was coming to it, just basically for an experiment, right? I didn't know if all these deer were going to come to it. I didn't know if they were going to be spooked by it. I didn't know if they were going to be ignored, ignore it. And so I went and I checked the trail camera that I had put in front of a rope-a-dope. And I swear to God, what I saw on that SD card blew my mind. It blew my mind. Every single deer, period. Every single deer, and you've heard me talk about this in some of the commercials, but every single deer went and visited that mock scrape. Now, they didn't necessarily paw at the ground and pee in the mock scrape part of it. A lot of them came up, put their nose to the rope-a-dope, the blue rope, and they just sniffed. Like they were curious of what this scent was. Does, fawns, small bucks, mature old bucks, every single deer on the property came and visited this one specific field edge rope-a-dope that I had set up, this mock scrape that I'd set up. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am currently in the process of thinking and strategizing how I can put a rope-a-dope system or a mock scrape kit within shooting range of every one of my tree stands. Okay. And so here's what I'm thinking. Okay. First off, it's not like these are going to pull deer from, 500 yards away into it. But what it's going to do is if you're in a tight pinch, or if you're in a staging area, or if you're in some kind of, like a saddle or some place where deer congregate, right? And that can be anywhere from the bed to food line, okay? Whether that's in a, you put one up in a bedding area, and during the rut, deer are going to come downwind of it. They're going to come in and they're going to inspect it. If they walk by it, they're going to inspect it. So I'm not looking to change their flow of movement. I am looking for them to come through an area, stop at the mock scrape within shooting range. And so I had a couple tests that I put out, right? I had this one, it blew my mind. Then I went into the timber on a little dry bed creek crossing. There's a predominant trail that crosses this. It's right in where it's three creeks come together, or two creeks come together, streams, creeks, whatever you say. And all the terrain flows down into this one point. And so I put a trail camera there, and I had a little leftover, I had some leftover of that preorbital gel is what you rub on the rope. And I didn't rub it on a rope, but I rubbed it on this one stick that was kind of in the picture of my trail camera. And every deer that crossed that creek put their nose up on this branch and sniffed it. Okay. So what I'm thinking is for those guys who can't bait, they can't use mineral in their state. I don't know if this is legal in your state, but this preorbital gel, man, you put it on that rope-a-dope system, you put it in front of a trail camera, and it will get you, it will. This is my experience. It will get you inventory of the deer that live in on your property that are coming through said terrain features. Okay. So now here's what I need to do, right? I need to micro adjust one of my tree stands, multiple tree stands, to put myself in a position where they're coming through the pinch and my wind is blowing out into a field that they're not going to be accessing, hopefully. And then I need to put myself in this pinch, and between me and the pinch, I want probably a little bit closer to me than the end of the pinch, but within this shooting range, I'm going to call it 30 yards, 25, 30 yards. I'm going to put that mock scrape kit. So set up. So every time a deer comes through there, they're going to stop and sniff. And so when I talk to Troy Pottinger, he's the mock scrape king. He's been doing it for 20, 30 years. What I've learned from him is deer will continue to come to these places and visit them, right? And then the next thing you know, their offspring comes and visits them, and their offspring comes and visits them. And so what you have here is you have generational education that these deer are coming to smell this rope, and they do it. It becomes habit, right? Just like locking our doors at night before we go to bed, right? It's habit. You do it every single day at this time. You go and you lock your doors. It's just like that. These deer are going to come through this pinch. They're going to stop. They're going to walk right to it. They're going to smell it. And little do they know, I'm going to have a tree stand there for them. and so I think it's going to work. Like, the amount of trail camera data that I got off of these, mock scrapes, it blows my mind. What deer are there? Deer that I didn't see last year having the trail cameras in the same place. Okay. And so, that worked multiple occasions. I have one more farm that I haven't checked, trail cameras on yet, but I'll tell you this. I believe that these mock scrape kits are going to lead me when I use them properly. And again, this is a learning process. So I know I'm going to fail at some point. I'm going to do something wrong, but eventually the goal is to get these deer to come visit the mock scrape over and over and over again, feel comfortable in that area. And then when the pre-rut hits and they're on their missions, I'm going to be in a tree downwind of that mock scrape, and I'm going to put an arrow in a buck. I just have such a great feeling that they're going to continue to do this over and over and over again, and until I mess it up, right? And so that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about using these mock scrapes. The other thing that I noticed, and I think I've already said it, but when they come through, they're not pawing at the ground. They're not every deer, even during the rut or pre-rut. From I got data from mid-October all the way to when I checked my trail cameras this last weekend. So here's what I found. Deer will come and they will investigate with their nose, but they may not work the scrape. They'll just come through. Sometimes a buck won't even, he'll pee, but he won't paw the ground, right? So what's this tell us? This tells us that just because you don't find any active scrapes doesn't necessarily mean that the area that you're looking for is empty. There's no deer there, right? It doesn't look like this scrape's been hit, so I'm going to go move. Well, it could be. It could be hit. They're still coming through. They're still scent checking everything. And man, it's eye-opening. And it just reiterates how deer use their nose, how important their nose is for them, how they communicate through scent and stuff like that. So I'm going to be rocking and rolling. I'm going to be putting, even on my old farm that I've had for like 14 years, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go set up a mock scrape kit within shooting range of my stands. And I'm going to put trail cameras over them. That's my new strategy. And then, so sometimes, you know, I got these cell cams now in some of the, God, like, especially on the one that's three and a half hours away, I feel comfortable. All right. I got a picture of a stud in the area, right? I still have a three hour drive to get to or 2.5 hour drive to get to the farm, and then a three. So the likelihood of me being able to capitalize on an instant cell cam pick on that farm is probably low, because the deer, you know, in 3 hours are going to move a long way unless I get them somehow bedded down in a certain area. So, you know, you just imagine this scenario. You go ahead, you start to get a deer coming through a pinch, investigating the mock scrape on a daily basis. Maybe it's nocturnal and you're not quite ready to dive in yet, but a cold front comes through, right? And so depending on what your thoughts on are on early season cold fronts or just cold fronts in general throughout the year, it might be time to hop in the woods and take a crack at a deer on one of those cold fronts because you have the intel. And what's providing the intel? The mock scrape. Throw a cell cam on and you're going to start getting instant data on it. All right. And I mean, that's the cheat code these days is the cell cam. It's a cheat code and it lets you know what's on there right now.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.
And I take advantage of it. I haven't had the opportunity yet where I've killed a deer from trail camera from cell cam data. I take that back. From cell camera or from regular trail camera data, when I go and I check and I find a pattern that a buck was on to 2020, I believe I did it, where I checked three trail cameras, buck was on three trail cameras. I triangulated the position. I found what I believed was the area that he was running. Then I did a run and gun setup, and sure enough, he was on that path, and I crushed him. So, with that said, we know trail cameras, and in my opinion, trail cameras are the tool that have had the biggest impact on hunting since. I don't even know, the arrowhead or something like that, or a strategy. Because what this allows you to do is allows you to go, oh, I'm not going to shoot this. I'm going to pass this 3-year-old and I'm going to shoot this stud, right? You hold out. More time you spend in the woods, the more likelihood you're going to get a crack at a target animal. And you can do that through trail camera data. And everybody does it these days. So I am really looking forward to this new strategy, implementing it this summer. All right, so in Iowa, you can put mineral out. I'm going to put a cell camera over mineral. I'm going to definitely get intel from that. And then I'm going to, while I'm there, I'm going to set up all my stands, my mock scrapes, all that stuff. And I'm going to put myself in a position where I can have some really, really, really good encounters with deer and then document it. I'm going to have my trail cameras right in these areas. So, okay, now what? I think that's all I really want to talk about today. I feel like I'm excited for this upcoming season because I tested this method out. I got some good results, and now I'm going to implement them on a broader scale. On a broader scale this upcoming season, right? And that's what you do in any case. You test something out. Does it work? Does it not work? Maybe it worked so well that you want to implement it, like what I'm talking about, or it failed and you didn't necessarily get the result, so you don't do it again, or you make an adjustment and you see if something else works. But with the preorbital gel and how I've used it with the rope-a-dope system, I will continue to do that and expand that method of hunting and that strategy on all of my hunts. Now, this is more for rut funnels. Now, anytime I do a run and gun and I need to get into a place tight, you're using the terrain, right, as the determining factor of the deer moving in through an area, and maybe some trail camera data that, oh, this deer comes through here. Now, I don't know how well the mock scrape will work on a, maybe if you just throw some preorbital gel within shooting range of your, or maybe some urine or something, I don't know. I think that the key here, or the winning factor, is the preorbital gel, not necessarily the urines and things like that. Just because I'm not seeing a ton of deer scrape up, they're always sniffing, but they're not always pawing up the dirt and urinating in the scrape. So I don't know how well it would work on a run and gun, because your scent is still fresh on that. And so maybe if you put it on a branch and not necessarily set up a rope-a-dope system or some kind of pre-orbital gel there on the first time, maybe you just rub it on a branch. I think it might slow them down, especially if they come on the trail that you think they're going to come on. They may stop, put their nose in the air, and that might give you an opportunity to get a crack at them, slow them down, and shoot them without having to stop them. And you know what else is going to be involved? I mean, you're going to have to shoot your trim shooting lanes. You're going to have to, or find pockets to where you can shoot through branches and stuff like that. And I can't wait to do that. But cell cameras, I'm looking at my notes here. Cell cameras, shed hunting. Oh, by the way, shed hunting. When I was checking my trail cameras as of Sunday of this past weekend, I would say about 60% of the deer on this farm were still holding antlers. There were a couple bucks that I noticed that were completely shed. They were giants, but we couldn't find their sheds on this property. But it's I might try to finesse another weekend down there. The only bad part is it starts to get crazy here pretty soon. And I think I have the opportunity of going to the Iowa Deer Classic again. You know, I try to go there every year. However, I want to go, and every year I find myself wanting to go, but then regretting not going shed hunting. And so I kind of hope I go shed hunting at least one more time this year. I just don't know when. My daughter has wrestling, not this weekend. She's got six more practices before the state championship. And her goal is to place, not win, because let's be honest, some of these girls are savages. I mean, some of these kids wrestling these days, they are pulling off moves that I don't even know about, right? And so her goal is to win a couple matches. She doesn't want to lose. That's all she cares about. I want to place. And they have first through eighth place. And that's her goal. And I think there's probably going to be 32 girls or something like that in her bracket. And it's going to be a great experience for her. Is she going to win? No, she's not. She doesn't have that skill set yet. But it's going to get her a ton of experience. And so I can't go shed hunting on that weekend. But maybe that weekend after, if I decide not to go to the Iowa Deer Classic, I can do that. But I love going to the Deer Classic. Lots of friends there. I run into people that I know. I went to high school with. We catch up, and it's so fun to go and look at all the racks and the new products and catch up with people that you haven't seen in a long time and you know, their stories and whatnot. So, all right, I am done talking. Short episode. Hopefully this was beneficial to you. Hopefully we caught up enough. And I will say this, if you haven't tried a mock scrape setup of some sort, right? I can say, go check out Code Blue Sense Rope-A-Dope system, but there's other products out there as well that you can go and check out. Go mess around with it. If you have an extra trail camera or you just want to test to see if deer come up and sniff it, don't hang the rope up. Get the preorbital gel, rub it on a branch in front of your trail cameras, rub it on the actual rub it on the tree where they scrape, or excuse me, where they make rubs. Just check it out. Just check it out. And I think you would be surprised on what you see. So good vibes in, ladies and gentlemen. Good vibes out. If you're going to be in a tree, wear your safety harness. And I think I can already hear the turkeys gobbling. We're getting close to turkey season. We'll talk to you next time. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.